Hello, everybody. This is Neil Ewers in Madison, Wisconsin, and this is a podcast on the Roland R05 recorder. It's actually been out for a couple of years. I hadn't paid any attention to the Roland products for a while because I had an Eddyroll R09HR, which I sold. And then I was sorry I sold it because it's so small and does a lot of things well. And then I discovered that this was out. It is the next version of that recorder. They took away the Eddyroll name for some reason, and it's just the Roland R-05. Looks almost exactly like the Eddyroll R09HR. Sounds, in my opinion, better. Preamps are quieter, not by much, but by some. And is just very small and light, and easy to put in your pocket and carry around with you. So this podcast will be on this recorder, and I'll do some comparisons with the R09HR, which I no longer have, but I have a number of recordings. I'll also do some comparisons between this recorder and the Olympus LS100, and you might be surprised, actually. So sit back, enjoy, and we're off to see what we can learn. You may notice I faded that segment out pretty quickly. That's because I referred to this recorder as the R09. I've done that a couple times. It looks so much like the R09 that it might as well be, in my mind. I just can't get used to the R05 yet. So, my problem, and if I make that mistake again and don't correct it, just realize that this is a podcast on the R05, regardless of what I say. All right, one thing I'm going to do right off the bat is put this recorder on a scale and see how much it weighs.
0 ounces. 6.30 ounces. 0 ounces.
Oh, it sounds so sad when it says 0 ounces, but when it says
6.30 ounces,
it's like, oh, I'm excited.
0 ounces.
Oh, hush. It's like, I'm excited. I have something that weighs something now. All right, that's how much this recorder weighs with batteries. And for the exact measurements, I'll have to go look at my computer, so let's go into the studio where the computer is now up and running. It's about the same size as the R09HR, but it's smaller, I think, in just about every dimension. It's 2 3/8 inches wide, 4 1/16 inches tall, and 1 inch thick. Sorry, I don't have the metric measurements at my fingertips, and I apologize for that. I said it was very much like the Eddyroll R09 in terms of description. On the top of the unit are the microphones, exactly as they are positioned on the R09. The microphone input and the line input are also on the top. As you're facing the recorder's front, on the top of the recorder, the microphone input is on your left, the line input is on your right. Also on the top is the card slot. Below the microphones is a display, which evidently is quite nice. And below the display is two groups of buttons. One is a group of 6, 3 across and 2 deep. On the first row, top left, is the Finder button, which operates just like it did in the Eddyroll R09. It's your way to get to files, to copy, delete, etc. The middle button on the top row is the Menu button, and that opens up the menus, which look very much like they did in the R09HR. The right-hand button is a very nice feature called the rehearsal feature, which I guess the update of the R09HR now has too. This has a button dedicated to it. If you press that button and record something that's going to be the loudest part of the recording, the recorder will adjust its volume to match that. Now you have two choices. You can either let it go until the time of the rehearsal ends, and you can set this in the menus. It defaults to 30 seconds. Or you can simply manually press the rehearsal button again to stop the rehearsal process, and the volume has been set to whatever the loudest point it has heard in that period of time. Now, there's one problem with that. If something happens that's louder than what it heard in the rehearsal, it's going to be distorted unless you have the limiter on. But it's a very nice feature for many reasons. The bottom row has 3 buttons. On the left is speed. The middle button on the bottom is the reverb button, and the bottom right button is called the AB/split button. It has 2 functions. In playback, It is the beginning and end marker for a place in the music or speech you want to repeat. Press it once at the start, press it again at the end, and it will repeat that passage over and over until you press the stop button. If you're in record, it is the split function. The split function allows you, when recording, to press this button and begin a new file. There's more to split, because you can set the recorder to split files for you, or you can do it manually by pressing the split button. Below this set of six buttons, you have your buttons you have on the front of the R09HR, the up, down, left, right, and middle button, which is the record and enter button. On the left side, on the front still, of these buttons, are two buttons up and down for record level. Up is volume up, down is volume down. On the right-hand side of the navigation buttons is the playback volume. Up is higher volume and down is lower volume. And that's all there is on the front of the recorder. There are two things of note on the right-hand side of the recorder. First is the jack for the AC power supply, which does not come with the recorder. I don't know that you need it. It says you need it to do updates, but when I asked tech support this, they said as long as you have a full battery, it's not going to require you to have it for an update. I haven't tried this, and I say it only because I was told that. So if you run out of batteries when you're updating and screw up the recorder, that's going to be your problem, not theirs. So that's why they suggest using the AC adapter. Below that is the on-off switch, which is different from that of the R09. It's like a lot of the Olympus recorders, a spring-loaded pull-down switch and hold for about a second and release, and it turns itself on. Press the switch up into the locked position, and all the keys are locked. Press down and hold for a second, and it turns off. On the left-hand side of the recorder, near the top, is the headphone jack, and below that is the USB jack. And that's all that's on the left-hand side of the recorder. The back of the recorder contains no speaker. That's one of the downsides of this recorder relative to the R09. There is no speaker. And that, I can certainly get by without it, but I had to do some hard thinking about that. It's one thing not to have talking menus, which this does not. Another thing not to have a speaker. So it is possible that you may not know whether it's on or not. Because if you press play and there's nothing plugged in, you won't hear anything unless you've got headphones plugged in or some kind of external speaker. Another thing this has that the R09 does not is a mounting screw. It's one of those camera mounting screw threads, so it doesn't fit exactly on a mic stand, but you can get an adapter to do just that. And below that is the battery house. Pull toward the bottom, the battery door opens. The batteries are really a tight fit. This recorder is so small, they didn't leave you much room. You almost have to, instead of putting one end at a time, you almost have to put both ends in at the same time and wiggle them around. And you'll get the hang of it, but it's a little tight. There are four rubber feet on the recorder, which is kind of nice. It's not the rubberized plastic case as you had on the R09. It is an aluminum case, which makes it lighter. But you can, for another $20, get, which I got, a nice silicone rubber case which just fits the recorder, making it feel like it came with the recorder. That is to say, making it feel like it's a part of the recorder. It's a non-skid rubberized surface, leaving all the buttons and screen open, and it too has four little rubber feet on the back. And on the back, I almost forgot, are three switches. As you face the back on the upper left, there is a column of three switches. The top one being mic attenuation, to the right is high, to the left is low. The second one being limiter or compressor, depending on what you have selected in the menus. To the right is on, to the left is off as you face the back. And the bottom is low cut. To the right is on, to the left is off. And the low cut frequency can be set to 100, 200, or 400 hertz in the menus. The microphones on this recorder are very much like they were on the Edirol R09. Here's more using another recorder. See if you can tell the difference. The microphones on the R05 are omnidirectional. Many recorders have cardioid microphones, including the one I'm using now, which is the Olympus LS-100. So you can certainly tell that I'm going from left to right, and the spread is a whole lot better than you'll get with omnidirectional mics. However, because the microphones of this recorder are so good, they are really hard to wind protect, because even at 6 or 7 or 8 inches away, with a windscreen on, I can still blow into it and cause it to pop. That is less of a problem by far on the Eddyroll, because the omnidirectional microphones are very much less sensitive to wind. Now, I told you I'd slip and say Eddyroll. So now we're back to the Roland recorder and its microphones, albeit in a different room. All right, what else can we find to do? Let me talk about the card slot and the card slot door on this recorder. But it's cold out here. I think I'm going to go back inside. Remember I said that the jacks for the microphone and the line-in were on the top of the recorder. So yes, there is a separate jack for line-in. Behind those, toward the back of the recorder, still on the top, is the card slot door. If you're facing the back, you pull it toward you, and it sort of comes, it swings down kind of on a spring, and the business end of the card is pointing down, with the gnarled edge, or what you might call the terminals of the card, facing the back of the recorder. And it's like all other card slots. You push it in until it clicks, and when you want to take it out, you push it in, it springs out, or doesn't spring out all the way, but it springs up enough to be able to grab it. As I said, the door is a bit flimsy. That's why I mostly use the USB port. The other reason I use the USB port is that the silicone cover covers up the card slot. It's the only thing it does cover that you need. Well, actually, that's not true. It covers up the battery compartment as well, but it's easy enough to undo the silicone case from the bottom and take the batteries out without taking the cover all the way off. To get to the card slot, you'd have to take the cover all the way off, and it fits so snugly that it's not impossible to do by a long shot, but it's not the easiest thing in the world to do. So, I use the USB port. Now you're going to hear something totally uninteresting, but interesting in a certain way. I recorded 3 similar, very loud sounds into 3 different recorders. The Sony PCMD50, the Olympus LS-100, and the Roland R05. I equalized the volumes of those recordings and then took away the sound. And what you'd hear is what you'd hear if you were recording something really loud, like a train, and it faded away, and you were left simply with the noise of the microphones. So you'll hear 3 different 5-second sort of snippets of noise. First the Sony, then the Olympus, and then the Roland R05. By the way, this was recorded on the new, at least new to me, MSBMC3 series microphones from Sound Professionals, which are about as quiet a mic as they sell, and about as quiet a mic of that size as you can get. I think it's about minus 75 dB signal to noise, which is pretty quiet. Now, you're not really hearing the noise as it was recorded. I raised the volumes of this noise so you could hear it without turning up your speakers or volume control all the way. So it's not really representative of how loud it would be, but it's representative of how different it would be from one recorder to the next. So let's take a listen. There was a bit of difference to my ears between the Sony and the other two. But if you said that you couldn't hear a difference between the Roland R05, which I mistakenly call the R09, and the Olympus LS-100, I think you'd be right. Given other tests that I've done, it would appear that the LS-100 is no quieter in terms of its mic preamps than is the Roland R05. And this is true especially if you're recording a really loud sound, And so you have the volumes down really low, and that sound fades away, like a train going away, and what you have left is the residual noise from the microphone preamps. They're just as loud on the Olympus as they are on the Roland. That's not what I thought I was going to find, but it's nice to find it, because the Roland recorder sells for $199. Now, it doesn't have XLR, it doesn't have phantom power, it doesn't have a lot of things, it doesn't have cardioid microphones, but in terms of external preamps, it's pretty doggone good. And now a comparison of the Eddyroll R09HR and the Roland R05 internal microphones. See what you think. And this is the Eddyroll R09HR recorder. I'm about 3 inches from these microphones. They are omnidirectional and therefore less subject to wind. And I also have a windscreen on. In fact, I have the Zoom H4n windscreen on. I've never used this before on the Eddyroll, but it fits. I have moved forward in time 4 years from the R09HR to the Roland R05 to see if we can hear any difference in the microphone sound or the microphone noise level. Now, I certainly can't tell you that I have the volumes exactly the same or I'm at exactly the same distance from it, although I think I'm close. I'm using the same windscreen I was before, and let's just see what difference we hear. And now a test of the low-cut frequency range. I'm standing in a place where there's a dehumidifier and a fan in the attic that can be heard. Both have a fair amount of bass. So let's see what the different frequency low cuts sound like. This is frequency low cut off. I'm going to switch to 100 Hz. And this is 100 Hz of low cut frequency, or 100 Hz of bass rolled off. I'm not sure what the curve is. The manual doesn't say, but you can hear if you've got some really good bass speakers that some of the bass has been rolled off, and you can probably tell a difference in the sound of my voice. All right, what about 200 Hz? This is 200 Hz. I'm guessing that if we were outside or playing some constant sound in the background that had a lot of bass, you'd be able to hear this better. But I'm just trying to see how much it shows up with my voice and the background sounds that are very quietly present here. Now to 400 Hz. And this is 400 Hz of bass roll-off. I don't know when I would use this, because it sounds pretty, well, there's not a lot of bass, which is what they wanted, but I don't really have any use for that. It's there, though. If you're in a lot of wind or a lot of bass noise, it's certainly there to be used. Now I want to use a very low-power microphone, the Electrovoice RE635, which I've used in many podcasts, first on the Eddyroll R09HR, and then on the Roland R05. This is the RE635 on the Eddyroll R09HR recorder. My cord has a hum in it. That isn't the recorder. That's the cord. I'm recording this in a stereo file. I could make it quieter if I simply used one of the two channels and routed them both into the middle of the stereo spectrum, and then you'd only hear a portion of the hiss. And this is the Electrovoice 635 on the Roland R05 recorder. A lot less hiss. Wow, that's nice. I wasn't expecting that. Interesting. And now a review of some new binaural microphones I just purchased, the Roland CS-10EM microphones. They're different in two respects. Like the in-ear microphones of sound professionals, they fit in your ears, but unlike those mics, they have earpieces attached, little rubberized interchangeable pieces that you can put in your ear that are connected to the mic, so not only can you record binaurally, but you can hear what you're recording while you're recording. And what we're going to hear with these microphones is the garbage truck passing our house. It's an automated truck in that instead of the guy jumping out and picking up the garbage cans, there's a little arm that comes out of the truck, picks up the garbage can, dumps it upside down, rattles it around for a while, and throws it down the ground. So you hear the garbage truck coming from the left, from the neighbor's house, past our house, onto the house beyond. So, enjoy. I'm now outside on my front porch, and what I'm going to do now is play you a selection of three different microphones listening to the same piece. I have a Dixieland piece, I don't remember where it came from, and it's a compressed file. It sounds like it's limited. It is. It's not the recorder doing it, it's the actual original file. You'll hear this first with the DPA microphones, or Danish Pro Audio microphones. They are not spaced as far apart currently as the others, so you'll hear a difference in the spread. I'm not going to change that because it would take a while. And what we're interested in anyway is the sound of the microphones and to some extent the placement. So you'll notice more on the two last ones. The second one being the Master Series MSBMC3 microphones from Sound Professionals, which are the same capsules as the new Master Series in-ear microphones. And then the Roland microphones that we used to record the garbage truck. Now, one word here about those Roland microphones. In a way, this isn't a fair recording. They are of such inferior quality in my ears, and they're not all that expensive, that in order to make them sound like other microphones, I've had to equalize them on SoundForge quite a bit. I actually had to do 4 EQ passes. And if you can do that, fine. If not, they may or may not sound like what you want. They are nice, though, in that you can wear them in your ears and hear what you're doing. Also, since my ears are a different shape than anybody else's, I mean, all ears are different, it doesn't really make any sense to give you what they sound like originally, because they wouldn't sound the same in your ears. It's just a matter of putting them in your ears, listening to them, and seeing what you can do, if you want to do it, with equalization. All right, enough said. Here's the musical piece by the three microphones mentioned above, and see what you think. By the way, Sound Professionals makes a version of these microphones. At least they make a microphone set that's like the ones from Roland. The Roland mics are about $115. The Sound Professional mics are, I think, about $75. I don't remember what their model number is, but it's on the same page with all their other in-ear binaural microphones, so you should be able to find it pretty easily. And there is a way to audition the sound, to at least listen to a guitar being played through the microphones. All right, onward. What are some of the pros and cons of this recorder, in my opinion? Cons first. MP3 is really not very good. Unlike the R09HR, which was quite nice, even on 128 kbps, this recorder is not. Let's try some. Let's go to 128, do some tests, and see what it sounds like. This is MP3 128. I've taken off the windscreen so as to be more treble-oriented, because that's sometimes what really goes first when you record an MP3. If I simply go, what does it sound like? And if I run water, which is another sort of high-frequency test, what does that sound like? I heard a demo of this on MP3 before I bought it, and I really didn't like the demo. Now, the question is, have they updated the firmware in the interim? Well, I guess that answers that. The answer is no, they did not. Oh my goodness, that is terrible. Now I'm on MP3 320, which is as high as I can go on MP3. And let's do our run the water test. So I guess you could get by with 320 kbps, but that may be about the only one. And that's a little iffy as well. Anyway, that's MP3. What other cons? Well, no speaker. That's a real bummer. It was so easy to use the R09HR because you knew when you were on and when you weren't. If you pressed the button and you think, I'm not sure I was on before or was I off? Now I've changed it. What am I? You press play, and if nothing happens, you're off. If you hear a file, then you're on. No such luck here. The on-off switch is nicer, so you don't have to worry about whether the button pressed in, because it's a slide switch, as I said before. But unless you have headphones or an external speaker, you may not know whether you're on or off. So no speaker is a bit of a letdown. As mentioned, the card slot is a little bit problematic, although if you connect via USB, you don't really have to use it all that much. Just get the card in once and leave it. But the door is a bit flimsy and a bit hard to get to, and if you buy the silicone case, you have to take it off to get to the door. The limiter behaves very much like the R09HR, except for one thing. When you turn it on, it lowers the signal by a little bit. I suppose I could go someplace where there's a constant noise and do this. All right, the limiter is off. If I turn the limiter on, listen to what happens. It lowers the signal by a few dB. And if you're in a quiet room and you do this, and you add in by raising the volume the same amount the limiter takes out, you notice that it's noisier with the limiter on. So the limiter adds noise to the circuitry. I don't believe it did that on the R09HR. I don't remember, but I don't think so. And it's quite... like the R09HR, it's a slow limiter. It takes a while to come back. Now, I remember with the R09, if you talked or did something while it was coming back, it would come back quicker, or release quicker. Well, with the rehearsal feature, it makes using the limiter less necessary, but there are times when you might want it, and that is the state of the limiter. And what do I really like about this recorder? Well, there are a number of things. Its size is one. It's small enough to fit in your shirt pocket. It is very well built. It has an aluminum case, which makes it light. And as I said before, you can get a silicone rubber case that exactly fits over it, giving it that rubberized feel. And it feels very sturdy. It's like a little solid object. Microphones are good, as good as or better than the ones in the Eddyroll, but that's personal opinion because some people like one sound, some people like another. The mic preamps are quieter, as demonstrated in the recording of the Electrovoice RE635. It's quieter across the board than the R09, in my opinion. Haven't done scientific test, as you know, because I don't have still an Eddyroll recorder, but from previous recordings I've made, this seems to be as good or better in terms of mic preamp noise. I like the fact that, as in the Eddyroll R09, the menus don't wrap. There are no spoken menus, but at least they don't wrap. And like the Eddyroll R09, you go up and down to get to different menus, and up and down to get to some of the submenus, but once you're in an actual menu, you go right and left sometimes. And that's standard with the R09 as well. So if you're used to the R09, that's exactly what you're going to get here. The battery life is great. 12 hours on two AA batteries. And you can either use alkaline or NIMH batteries. I like the fact that the USB port is on the side. I had a lot of trouble getting the USB cord into the Eddyroll R09HR. It was up inside the door with the card slot and just not easy to access. This is quite easy. It's right on the side. You just stick the plug in and you're off and running. And when you plug the recorder in, if the recorder is off, it does not automatically turn on. You have to turn it on either before or after you plug it in. I don't think it matters. They may say in the manual that it matters, but I've done both. It will not do composite record, but it certainly can be a storage class, and you can certainly get your files off of it easily enough. You can change the file names to either dates or just R05 and then a number, and the number resets when you format the card. There's plenty of volume out of the headphone jack. And while the microphones are not very directional, they are much better protected from wind than cardioid mics. I am now using, and have used much throughout this podcast, the windscreen that came with the Zoom H2 recorder. The H2N and the H4N will also fit. And so also will the Sony windscreen, the fluffy Sony windscreen. All $50 of it. I like the fact that you're given several choices of bass low cut, 100, 200, and 400. One of them will likely work for you. And let's see, what else? The headphone jack is no longer on the top, so you can actually have a windscreen on while you're using headphone monitoring, which is kind of nice. And as I described in the layout of this recorder, there are still switches on the back that allow you to do things that you don't have to go into the menu to do. So all in all, for $199, I think this is a really good buy. And now a few random notes. One of the things I discovered about this recorder is that when you plug it into USB, when you unplug it, it turns itself on. It is evidently in an off state while it's plugged in, and the computer is doing the work. I couldn't figure out why, when I unplugged it from USB and turned it on, it would sometimes be off. That's because when I unplugged it, it was turning itself on. So basically, what you have to do is wait the normal boot up time, which is about, 10 seconds, after you unplug it, and then the recorder will be on again, and you can either use it or turn it off. You can record other WAV files and MP3 files on this recorder, which is to say you can put them on the card, put the card in the recorder, and play them back. You can even do it in the main folder. In fact, the files on the R09HR and the R05 are all in the root folder, unlike the Sonys and the Zooms, which have all kinds of folders you have to go into to find the files. These are right at the root folder. And if you put a file in that root folder, I think what happens is it does it alphabetically, because you can have the titles listed either by date or by number, and the number starts with R05 something or other, 01, 02, 03, and increments when you format the card back to 0. So if you've done this, anything before R would probably be first in the chain of files on the recorder. I have found that the USB connection is slower than a lot of recorders I have. It is 2.0, but I have found that all recorders I have are slower than card readers I have. And this one is a bit slower than the Olympus LS100, for example. Not by much. I have found, though, that it's slow enough that if I'm using Studio Recorder or SoundForge and the file I'm accessing is on the card, there is a considerable delay in processing that file. So what I often do is to copy the file onto my computer and then manipulate it there, avoiding that slowdown. And as I said, it isn't much, but it's noticeable. It's still better than opening the card slot door every time you want to take the card out, especially if you've got the silicone rubber case on. People often ask, how do you know when the batteries run out? Well, I just had that happen to me. I was making part of this podcast, and I'm talking along, and I go to turn off the recorder, and it's already off. I wasn't using headphones, so I didn't hear the sound disappear, and I don't know if there was a beep before it disappeared. I kind of don't think so. There isn't anything on this recorder that beeps in any other capacity, so I'm thinking maybe it just dies. Now, it saved the file. There was no problem with that. It just ended, however, before it was supposed to. So 12 hours, give or take, which I'm sure I got out of that bunch of batteries, although I did it over such an extended period of time that I really didn't keep track. I should do a test of that sometime. I use rechargeables, and that way you don't have to run them all the way down. You know that you've got a long recording coming up. You put your batteries that were in there in the charger, and you put new ones in the recorder, and off you go. If I were using simple alkaline AA batteries, which it takes two of, if I forgot to mention that, then I might be a little more worried, but rechargeables will help. There is a setting to do alkaline or NIMH. I'm actually using hybrid batteries, which were out a number of years ago. I don't think they make them anymore. They're really alkalines, which you can recharge. They really hold their charge a lot longer than nickel metal hydride batteries. Well, all right then. I think that about does it. It's about 11 o'clock at night. I'm outside. It's kind of windy. A few crickets out. I haven't talked much about the menus, because I don't know how many people really have this recorder or are going to want it. Not to say that it's not worth wanting, but a lot of people already have the recorder they want. So I'm not going to waste a lot of your time dealing with menu items, except, as I said, the menus are very much like they are with the Edirol R09HR. If there are enough people interested, I will try to do a menu tree. Otherwise, you can probably find Sighted Help to help you out if you get one of these and want to know some things. I have come up with a cheat sheet of how to easily do a few things by just how many down arrows and how many enters, etc. it takes to get there, and I can certainly pass that around. It's a nice recorder, very much like its predecessor, the R09HR. In my opinion, a little bit better, the problem that there is no speaker is an issue, and of course it doesn't have talking menus, which it never did in its previous iteration either. So there you have it, a podcast on the Roland R05. I hope you've enjoyed it. If you want to contact me with questions or comments about this, please do so by emailing me at neal@ravenswood.org. And I'll try to respond as quickly as I can. I get a lot of emails, so it may not be immediate, but I'll try. I hope you've enjoyed the podcast. This is Neal signing off until we meet again.